from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Brody, Russell Westbrook.
Nobody calls him that.
He's always been the Brody.
I mean, that's Brockman's thing, but like...
Nobody calls him that.
How can you say everyone no one calls does. Him that when we all know that that's his nickname?
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Ben Lyons.
Brody.
Everyone would be like, that's Russell Westbrook.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Jane Slater. Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. Host of the Right Time podcast, Bomani Jones. Coming up, NBC Olympics commentator Sal Masekela. And now, it's Ben Lyons.
Well, welcome back to the show. Hour number three, Ben Lyons in for Rich, the Rich Eisen Show. As always, you can be a part of the show, at Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. Say hi to Adam, or you can hit me up on social media, at I am Ben Lyons.
If you come to Adam, though, like talk him up. You know, talk about Justin Fields or how the Bulls.
Yeah, if you're trying to get on the show,
tell him about Chicago pizza is better than New York pizza.
Yeah, so Chicago pizza.
He's from Chicago.
Yeah.
Tell him you saw him do a night of stand-up and it made you laugh. Chances are you'll get on the air.
Now we're talking.
Tell him you love the Bears.
I remember the Golden Globes when it rained. Do you guys remember that? The Globes are a mess now. We know that. But for years, they were a big deal for the E! Channel when I worked there. And there was a red carpet when it was like pouring rain. And
worst
of course,
working
everyone in Hollywood freaks out. Nobody knows what to do when it rains here, let alone how to put on a tuxedo or a ball gown. And go down the red carpet and to see celebrities with umbrellas and their handlers. It was a mess. It was also the day that the then San Diego Chargers hosted a playoff game against the New York Jets. And we had a room right off the red carpet. It was in between our shows. We didn't actually have to work during the time of the game. So I'm watching the game with the biggest then San Diego Charger fan that I knew in my life, about 5 yards away from the Golden Globe red carpet. Drew Barrymore, Rosario Dawson, J-Lo, everybody's walking the carpet. Bradley Cooper, it's pouring rain. Everyone stops what they're doing on the carpet. Because inside that hotel room where I was watching the game, a table was flipped over because the biggest then San Diego Charger fan in the entire world was watching his team lose a playoff game to the New York Jets, and now that San Diego Charger fan joins the show. So, Lemon Masekela, do you remember tipping over a table at the Golden Globes when the Bolts lost a home playoff game?
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, I hate you so much. Yes, I do. I do remember. As soon as you said Golden Globes, I was like, he's setting me up.
Yep.
He's setting me up right now.
That was always the thing on Golden Globe Day, was trying to find the windows to watch the football games.
I remember not realizing how close we were. And the cameraman, we were behind the cameraman. And everybody stopping and looking at us. And then the red carpet stopping. But, fandom. What are you going to do?
Don't pay any attention. He's just a fan of Philip Rivers. Don't pay any attention over here. Salema, fresh off the plane from Japan, a little jet lag still. What was it like to be a part of these Olympics?
It was
the show right now.
active for and for make it away specific.
It is about a relationship between men thrown together in the craziest of circumstances. The music is amazing. I know that's not supposed to be a comedy, but De Niro in this is as good in this as he is in any other movie, and I will fight people over that.
Go have a cream soda.
Well, I mean, you know,
Midnight Run Camp is funnier than Meet the Parents.
That whole movie is great.
But that's not a De Niro line.
I know.
You know,
but the whole movie.
I'm telling everybody, it is. I would put De Niro's performance as Jack Walsh, who is unpopular with the Chicago Police Department, up against in that movie, up against De Niro as Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver, as Jake LaMotta, as anything he's ever done. And I will fight people on that, and that is my choice. And I bet you it won't even finish in third place. It's going to upset me, Chris.
No, Rich. Okay. Midnight Run is actually running away with it.
Thank God.
Oh, people are getting it.
Thank God.
Why are you unpopular with the Chicago
Police? I mean, Charles Grodin in that movie, too. He's kind of disappeared.
Charles Grodin
he's
is
disappeared.
Amazing.
Mike Del Tufo is a star as well.
Sure he is.
Because who else would post a poll question on their Twitter account? I saw all but one of these comedians in person perform. Which one did I not see perform in person?
We were speaking
Sam
about this
Kinison,
yesterday afternoon.
Eddie Murphy,
right, TJ?
Andrew
you.
Dice Clay, and George Carlin were the choices. So just for those who may not know Mike or the reason why he's putting it
we
up there because we were
about
talking
this.
About seeing comedians in person, he just wants all of his followers, just take a guess. Which one of these comedians did I not see perform?
Back me up on this. Were we and you and Adam not speaking about
no,
this?
No, it's got nothing to do with it. It's not.
We did it.
No. I'm not saying that this doesn't have context in terms of why it would be on your mind. It's just...
I've been around.
How is that a poll question?
Why would you tweet that out and ask people to guess?
Because we were talking about it, and TJ and
we had
Adam,
a little post-show talk.
Yeah. Talk about it.
I understand.
And I said...
But it's just like all of a sudden I'm looking at my Twitter feed and I see Del Tufo put out a poll and I'm like thinking to myself, what's the poll? And it's just... Which one of these people have I not seen in person? And I've known you now for almost 20 years. I've been working with you daily in and out for almost 7 years. And I don't know. And I don't even have a frame of reference to even figure it out. So I guess George Carlin, just because it's been old. Oh, see, I'm wrong. But it's just so, it's like, which one of these, it's kind of like the answer that Clavin gave on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who has not been in my kitchen? Like, okay. I guess.
No.
That is insane.
It's just insane to post that.
That
to
is
your
insane. That is the epitome of narcissism.
You know what? Here's the deal, guys.
Which one of these people have I not
I'm
seen
not
in person?
I'm not even responding to this.
I'll handle this. Because normally, if it's a Paolo and Del Tufo, I'm coming off the top rope like Macho Man with the elbow.
Yes.
Thank you.
But we did. This was part of our post-show discussion, and maybe there should have been a little bit more context to
I
it.
You have context.
How many followers does Mike Del Tufo have on Twitter? It's a nice number.
Matter. Like
because,
a million?
Because TJ hangs out with the stars, and Mike is
there
one of
is
them.
There is context so, on Instagram. If you looked at my Instagram, there is context, and I'll send this one in, and we'll read.
Mike, we're not questioning the context.
It's a tapestry. Chris.
Why would you post that for people to answer? Why?
I do. Hold on.
I'm not mad at you,
week,
Mike.
Once a week, I do a what? It's like Mike thing. This is one of my things.
This is a Mike thing.
It's a Mike thing I do.
So in a case, so bottom line is.
Ask Mike.
Here's,
there you go.
Here's now just for the Rich Eisen Show audience. And, you know, they call it broadcasting because you want to actually talk to a broad audience. Okay. So people might not know context. You've got to continuously broaden things out by providing as much context for people who might just surf in or whatever. So for anybody who might not understand the context of anything that Mike Del Tufo posts, it's a puzzle. It's a tapestry. You've got to visit his Instagram. You've got to put it all together.
Like,
so you understand.
Who Mike met?
I did still it last don't week. Even know the answer to this question. I don't even know if I care.
You care.
You do.
I do not. I do not.
Last week I asked.
Okay, so out of Justin Herbert and David Koechner, they're
thinking that we were a thing and then realizing that we were really an exciting layup drill squad at best. But, you know, being a Clipper fan now, I know what to expect. I can get excited, and then I know that when the playoffs come, that the exit is nigh, and I'm okay with it.
Are you going to be okay when you see me in real life wearing a purple and gold Carmelo Anthony jersey? How's that going to sit with you?
I'll be fine with it, you know, because you're a bandwagoner.
What? Get out of here. I'm like you with a deep allergy to greatness. I have an affinity for it. I seek it out. And so I celebrate greatness. Carmelo winning a title in Los Angeles. Will you be at the parade? Will you be at the Laker parade when Melo wins a title?
Listen, this sequel of Uncle Drew will be very entertaining.
You've inspired me so much throughout my career, Sal, and our friendship. And Brockman over here is being inspired by you. When you said deep allergy to greatness, he wrote that down. That might be his fantasy team name this year.
Yeah, so Sal, one of our bits is whenever just something funny as a phrase gets said by either Rich or one of us or one of our guests, I just write it down. So I have like notebooks full of those for potential fantasy names.
That's awesome. I think that's a great fantasy team name. You should run with it. And if you do win your league, I'll be expecting my 10%.
Salema Masekela joining the show. Action sports commentator, musician. Be sure to check out the Alakazam album. And I want you to talk a little bit right now, buddy, about your organization, Stoke, that you helped co-found. It's an amazing group of guys and what they're able to do, taking kids from at-risk youth situations with tough homes, tough backgrounds, taking them out to experience the world through action sports. What's the latest with Stoked?
Thank you, my friend. We are a mentoring organization celebrating our 15th year, based in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. And we basically use the principles of action sports, skateboarding, snowboarding, and surfing, to teach kids how to fall down and get back up, negotiate new environments and surroundings, and in turn use those principles to make decisions for themselves and really find out the totality of who they can become as human beings. We do mentorship programs. We do internship now. We teach kids to brand build, and it's been an incredible 15 years run. We just signed Vans as our title partner for the next 2 years, which is really exciting, as well as Woodward Camps, giving our kids scholarships to Woodward Camps in the summer and winter. And it's been fun, man. It's been fun to take something that, you know, surfing and snowboarding and skateboarding are my passion. I don't just talk about them. I live them. And it's just been really great to be able to take this thing that's given me so much and help kids get an opportunity to find out what they're really, really capable of.
The organization is Stoked. The man is Salema Masekela. From hosting my birthday party in Vegas with a Korean pop star named Boa to hosting the Olympics, you've come so far, big guy. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, Ben Lyons, keeper of all of the receipts. My brother, I will see you on the golf course tomorrow.
Now it's official. It's happening. I was going to ask you if you're going to make that 2 o'clock tee time. I don't believe it till I see you on the tee, but it's happening. I love it.
I'm in. I'm bringing 24 balls. And if I leave with six, it's a good day.
Dude, I appreciate you. I love you. Thanks for making some time for us. Welcome home.
Love you, man. Take care. Thanks for having me, everybody.
Salema Masekela joining the show, fresh from the Olympics.
Funny.
Gonna make the tee time tomorrow. That's the big rubber. That's the news. That's the breaking news. Whoa, really? Gonna show up? I love it.
Man, maybe I will play tomorrow.
Yeah, you're trying to get you in for tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll play tomorrow now.
Man, that dude, the closest thing I have to a mentor in this business. Reminds me a lot of Rich. I know he's been on the show as a guest of Rich's, but just somebody who just is honest, real, caring, compassionate. Everybody says, who meets Salema, oh, he's the greatest. I remember walking around the casino, you bump into somebody, you chat with him for 20 minutes, and you go, oh, do you know that guy? He goes, no, he's just a fan of the show. And you go, wow. Talk to a fan of the show for 20 minutes. And then next day, you're walking around the casino. He runs into somebody, talks to him for 20 minutes. He goes, oh, another fan? He goes, oh, no, that was my buddy. I used to live on his couch. I'm like, what? Oh, so I can't tell with
you. Yeah,
you
can't tell, right.
If you're interacting with a fan or somebody you've known for 20
years.
Right,
their disposition is always the same. Their attitude, always the same.
I would imagine Rich is the same way. You've been out with him where he's chatted with someone, and you're like, do you know that guy? And he's like, no, just a fan of the show. Nice.
Yeah,
guy.
You know, it's like Rich is one of those guys. He'll stop. He'll talk to everyone. He'll take every picture. He'll sign every autograph, what have you.
He's
the greatest. It's great. I try to do it myself. Not that people are clamoring for selfies of me or Mike or TJ, but
well,
like,
speak for yourself.
You know,
I don't know. You can look on the blockchain. An NFT of Brockman at the desk might go for a few shekels. Who knows?
When we're out, hey, look, man, these people take time out of their day to consume what we're doing. And I think that's amazing. We're so thankful and grateful. And the least I could do is have a conversation with you about whatever you want to talk about.
No, it's Salem is the greatest. I feel really honored to have him on the show, to call him a friend. The fact he got to go over there and be a part of the Olympics just adds to the resume that does include Kim Kardashian's first television interview. I had to throw that one in there.
That is unbelievable.
That's amazing, right?
That is amazing.
Ben Lyons in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. The show rolls on a Wednesday. Big show today. Lots going on. Got more show for you coming up next. Ben Lyons in for Rich. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
My favorite things about having the privilege of sitting in this chair is getting to check out all the great archived interviews here. Everything in the archives just makes me smile. Boban sitting on the couch here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah,
Ben Lyons in for Rich.
Maybe I'll retweet one of these or repost the Boban clip. But TJ, you can attest because, you know, he played for both your favorite teams. Mm-hmm. One of the coolest guests we've ever had in here, like easily top 10, just like nice, cool guy.
Well, first and foremost, the tallest guest we've ever had.
The tallest guest.
So that goes without saying.
He is an inch taller than Kareem, who we've had in here a few times.
Mm-hmm. But, Boban, man, he's just like a treat, bro. There's videos of him with the Clippers, and he and DeAndre Jordan are doing dances.
And
be that comfortable in your own skin and to be that engaged in life, you know, wanting to go out there and connect with people. Oftentimes you've heard larger people kind of fall into the shadows or feel uncomfortable socially, but it seems to be the exact opposite for him. I hope he continues the acting thing. Popped up in John Wick 3.
Yeah.
You know, if you're familiar with that, I'd like to see Boban continue to act. Wow. It's a photo right now on the screen with Boban and Del Tufo.
I mean, I could
Mike,
be his kid.
You're not even to his chest. You are under his
and
chest.
Brockman and
it's
Rich.
It's insane.
He's a large dude. Yeah,
I got
the privilege of interviewing him at Serbian night, which was the same night as Japanese night at the Clipper game.
And there was a third
and
Greek.
And then the Greek fans were there for Giannis.
Yes.
So it was the United Nations over at Staples Center.
And you were dressed as a hot dog, which
I was dressed like a hot dog, the international delicacy.
That was amazing.
Let me tell you about the night at the Clipper game with Boban on Serbian night when I dressed like a hot dog.
Oh, that's amazing.
We should talk about someone that size being comfortable in their own skin. Like, he knows that, like, people want to do the hand photo. People want me to hold them and stuff. Like,
yeah, he's very giving.
He totally
person.
Gets it, and he's totally giving. And, yeah. like, you know, you talk about a guy, like, his parents aren't huge. I think his parents are 5'8". And then he is 7'3".
At what point in his journey and his maturation and his growth did they realize that, oh, he's going to be a lot taller? Was he 6 foot tall at 8 years old?
Yeah, I don't know.
When did it happen? When did he just go from being one of the kids to being the biggest kid on the planet? Right.
And the best thing about it is he eats soup every day.
Yeah. Every day. And by the way, if Campbell's released a line of Boban soup,
oh my gosh,
take all my money.
Take it.
Take all my money.
Just take it.
What's happening in the world of football today besides people putting salt on McGriddles?
I did throw up a poll, by the way, of like, do you salt your McGriddle? It's like 90% no. Like, Jerry Jones, like, come on. You're older. Jerry, you're almost 80.
Jane Slater was absolutely right. There's nothing about a McGriddle that's appealing to me. It won't be with anywhere near my plate.
First off, you're putting maple syrup on the McGriddle. Like, why are we making it saltier? That's so disgusting.
When you turn to a pancake for support, you're already in trouble.
So we talked a lot this week about the Colts. We know they got dealing with the injury to Carson Wentz and to Quentin Nelson. Sam Ellinger is suddenly getting first team reps. Well, Chris Mortensen, our good friend at ESPN, had a tweet this morning talking about good vibes around the Colts. So Eason and Ellinger are competing for the backup role. Wentz is trending to open the season as the starter, Quentin Nelson on the same path. So we are 5 weeks from the beginning of the season, Colts open versus Seahawks, and it looks like Carson Wentz is trending to be available week one.
Love Mort being the vibe director, tapped into the vibes going around with the Colts. Love
it's
that.
It's a vibe.
Yeah, good vibes.
Good
it's
vibes. And this is why you give a window of 5 to 12 weeks, I suppose. Yeah, right. 'Cause now you can say, look, see, you said 5 weeks. We also said 12. We also thought there was going to be 3 months. We had folks on this show talking about Nick Foles, talking about making a trade, Ellinger starting, Eason starting. The idea of Carson Wentz starting week one, I feel like this group collectively put to bed a long time ago.
Long time ago. Definitely was
not
expecting.
Didn't even see that in the cards. We were saying, oh, if he doesn't play by Thanksgiving, do you even play him this year?
Right, or, you know, should they trade? I mean, obviously, Rich threw out, should they trade for Nick Foles? Should they go after Jimmy G?
Bring a guy out of retirement coaching high school
football? Yeah, Philip Rivers was like,
he made a statement.
Yeah, throw up the bat signal, like, oh, no, I'll come back. You want to, I'll play for $5 million if you need me.
So Phil also said he'd come back at the end of the season.
Like, sounds like he's coming back, though, Carson Wentz, for week one, they're looking at.
Yeah, it looks like Wentz will be there week one, and two guys who will be there much longer than week one. We got to assume the Colts did throw extensions at GM Chris Ballard, who we all think is one of the best in the biz at that, and Frank Reich, who won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Extensions through the 2026 year for those guys, so a lot of security there in Indianapolis.
A lot of security, yet still a question mark around the quarterback position. As much as the vibes might be positive today, Chris Mortensen, tomorrow, who knows what a foot that was diagnosed as 5 to 12 weeks away from being right, how it feels. So today, Carson Wentz going to be there in a month. Let's see if he's actually there in a month.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, like I said, the preseason is what it is, and we're 5 weeks from the week one, so let's rock and roll. We mentioned Jimmy G. He is listed as the 49ers starting quarterback on the first official depth chart of 2021. I don't know how much stock you guys are putting into that, but we heard the support that Jimmy G has been given from the front office and the head coach throughout the offseason, despite the drafting of Trey Lance. And Jimmy G is going to be the starter when the season opens. The Athletic is reporting Trey Lance, quote, needs work in some clock management situations. We get wowed by all the viral clips that are going from some of these practices, throws by guys like Justin Fields and Trey Lance also. But these guys are first-year players, and so they need time to adjust and learn their systems. And Trey Lance, quote, needs work. So we'll see there. Jimmy G, your starter for the 49ers.
How old's Tom Brady?
Tom Brady's 44.
Always going to be connected to Jimmy G. When you think Jimmy G is going to be part of you, that always thinks about Tom Brady, right? In 15 years, he'll be the same age. That's crazy.
Yeah, Jimmy G is 29.
That Jimmy G in the year 2036 will be the same age that Tom Brady is now.
Do you think he's still playing football?
I mean,
Jimmy Garoppolo at age
44? No, I don't think, because no one will ever do this again.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's ruined it for everyone. We now expect guys to play north of 40. It's not going to happen. And I say this because we think of Jimmy G as being much older than he actually is, because he's been around for so long, connected to Tom Brady.
We've always been talking about him.
We've been talking about Jimmy G for a long time.
Yeah.
Not even 30. Won't be 30 at Halloween this year. So there are 10 years of great football left. You have the 49ers and you've already created this transition plan. You kind of jumped the gun a little, didn't you? Why isn't Jimmy G the quarterback of the future in San Francisco? When he's healthy, they win. When he's starting, they win. Why is he not your quarterback of the future in San Francisco?
I think because he didn't get out of bounds once and tore his ACL. And then I think he
took the team to a Super Bowl. He's 29 years old.
Overthrew the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl.
But the idea that you're ready to move off, then move off him then. Then if he's not your guy, then move off him. Gray areas in life are not fun to live in. Mm. Uncertainty, different expectations, not quite meeting up or being in sync. If the 49ers feel passionate that Trey Lance is their guy, then go get something for Jimmy while you can. Have a placeholder then while Trey develops. But the longer you wait with Jimmy G, the harder it's going to be to get real value for him. And he's not going to be your quarterback moving forward. So why not just move off him?
But the thing is, I think a lot of teams are kind of hesitant to make a move, especially right now, because he's owed a lot of guaranteed money.
Teams are hesitant to make a move on them. They're hesitant to make a move on him as their true quarterback of the future. So everybody's living in this gray area, which is an uncomfortable place to be.
Do you think he's going to do well? Like, how do you think
he stays healthy?
Do you think he starts the whole year, or is it, you know, Trey Lance like week seven? The Niners are 4-3. I don't know.
As a Rams fan, I hope we see Trey Lance this year because that means they've struggled and Jimmy G has stumbled for them. But I don't think we'll see him this year. Trey Lance is only 21. Hadn't played.
He's played in 2 years.
Hadn't played in 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll see him this year. It's not a situation like Chicago, which doesn't have a quarterback who could be the face of the franchise for 10 years. They don't have another quarterback, you know, starting that has had success at the level that Jimmy G has. Andy Dalton, now we're just, it's a conveyor belt of guys. Different situation in Chicago. I don't think Trey Lance plays this year.
Interesting. As long as Jimmy's healthy.
Barring some catastrophic injury, which do we have to say every time we talk about the NFL? That because I feel like every prediction, anytime we prognosticate about football, I guess we should just preface it with, should the guy's legs stay on his body?
True that.
Barring that he has all his limbs, I think they'll have success with him. But Jimmy G's the guy in San Francisco all season, I think. Put that out there. I don't know how hot that take is.
Yeah, I don't think it's super flaming. I don't think it's a blue flame, but I think it's it's a good color.
Everybody's gonna be calling for Trey Lance. The first time Jimmy G stumbles, the first time they hit a bit of a wall.
He throws an interception week one. It's like when
camera
we
cuts see? Right to Trey Lance.
Yeah. How quickly do we see Trey Lance?
But when he plays, they win. So let's keep him playing.
Yeah. Hey guys, we saw this yesterday. Matt LaFleur, Packers head coach, announced Aaron Rodgers not going to play Week One. We know Dak's not going to play Week One.
Preseason
Week One. Kevin Stefanski, Browns head coach, said Baker Mayfield not going to play in the first preseason game against Jacksonville on Saturday. Feels like we're going to see a lot of that this preseason, where these superstar quarterbacks not going to get a lot of reps in the preseason. You cool with that?
I'm totally fine with that. Yeah. Guys who have earned their spot in the league, they know what they need to succeed. I think the preseason should be condensed from 4 games to 2 games.
We're three. We're meeting in the middle.
I think we should get down to 2 games. I think if you're a guy like Baker, maybe you take a series. It's not even so much about the game. I think it's also about tuning your body and your mind to the preparation for the game. Forget if you actually play in the game. Just studying the film, going through a week of progressions, getting warmed up before the game, going through that experience, I think can be beneficial for even an established guy. Baker should probably take a series, maybe 2 series in the last game or the second to last game. Now the 3 games, maybe in the second game, you have him take a series. Also, we equate it to when you do rehearsal on a show like this or for the Oscars or something like that. It's not necessarily for Baker. It's for everybody else. If you have new linemen, new skilled positions, guys getting a chance to play off a Baker, it's more of a rehearsal for the crew as it is for the guy.
Right.
You know, I could come out here and we could do a rundown for the show, but we want to give Del Tufo reps. We want to make sure that everything's plugged in, everything's lined up, ready to go. We do these rehearsals for you, Del Tufo. You're a big rehearsal guy, right? You love a rehearsal.
I hate rehearsals. Do it live.
Let's do it live.
Yeah.
Speaking of doing it live, Mike, you just kind of threw something out at the end of last hour. And it turns out you were right. So to you, you were like, Twitter changed is fun.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, what are you talking about? Mine is the same.
Well, because I mean, I know most of it.
But when you do the update, I think we have a tweet to support this. You were right. Twitter redesigns its website with new fonts. So there's less clutter and more high contrast features.
Sounds like my condo. Less
clutter. You actually nailed this. So congratulations.
Yeah, it was like it changed on me. I'm like, what happened?
You know, we think about this show and who's really at the pulse of social media. It's Mike Del Tufo.
And so now,
I do spend a lot of time watching.
By the way, and in the middle of this segment, while we're trying to have a nuanced conversation about the football news of the day,
I added something.
Mike throws out a tweet, new Twitter font. You at Rex Chapman, so because you know that Rex is an automatic retweet.
Yep.
If you tag him, new Twitter font before Tom Brady's combine video,
and then after
new Twitter font after 44-year-old perfect face.
Yeah, Tom Brady. I mean, he's
Del Tufo, the King Josiah of the Rich Eisen show. And
Mike, never change. Hey, TJ, quick, I wanted to ask.
That same thing like he did a few minutes before he did, but no one cares that
we expect greatness. Expect greatness over there.
TJ, I wanted to ask you about this. Watching Hard Knocks last night.
Yes, indeed.
Mike McCarthy, okay? So there's a clip going around of one of the shows today talking about Mike McCarthy and his personality. You know, he played the Austin Powers thing for Mojo Moment, and he's what was with all the cursing last night, too? He's dropping F-bombs about the winning of the Lombardi Trophy, how it's much heavier than you think. Mm-hmm. How do you think Mike McCarthy came off last night during the first episode?
A lot of coach speak. You know, I mean, Mark, you're not tuning in to Hard Knocks to
hear the coach
see that Mike McCarthy is all of a sudden going to be the most interesting man in the world, right? That's just who he is, you know? And I really don't know how he turned. Like, I'm a Cowboys fan, so I'm always going to look at it one way, but I know there's so many people, the vocal minority on social media, that hate the Cowboys. So no matter what Mike McCarthy did or said, there's going to be a huge section of people that are just going to hate him. Hate what he said, hate everything he did. All of a sudden, people now hate Austin Powers, you know.
No, I'm just wondering, like, from your fandom perspective.
Yeah, because
like,
you're seeing your head coach out there, and he's trying to be inspiring to the players and trying to get the organization going.
He has that, right? He has that thing where Mike McCarthy, say what you want, the man has won a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. He had Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, but Belichick had Tom Brady. He won a Super Bowl.
Sure.
So when he talks about holding this Lombardi trophy and he speaks about being there, you 1,000% cannot take it away from him.
Yeah, you got to
listen. The man climbed the mountain. Right. Might not look like he climbs mountains, but the man climbed the mountain. Because you were going to say something about it because that's all you ever talk about. So I went to beat you to the punch. He's got a little punch. So what? Who don't? It's quarantine weight. Look, he's been there and it's a lot easier to follow a guy and listen to a man who's actually achieved what you want to achieve than I think sometimes for it is to listen to someone who's never been there. So, you know, we'll see. It's still early, you know.
I'm curious what else he's got up his sleeve when it comes to movie references.
Yeah, I
want to know more about Mike McCarthy, the cinephile.
Like, so I'm wondering, like, what's next week's movie going to be?
Well, I was just wondering,
Pirates of the Caribbean. Is he bringing out some French cinema to really challenge the guys?
No, I don't think he'll do anything foreign. That'd be a lost cause.
So?
It's got to be something American, like, sexist. You know, Pirates of the Caribbean or, you
Pirates
know,
of the Caribbean.
Maybe Rush Hour. Like, who knows?
Are you Caribbean or Caribbean?
It depends. I say both of them, to be honest with you.
All right.
I covered the premiere of Pirates 4 at Disneyland. My co-host was Kermit the Frog.
Hey, ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Kermit. Interviewed Keith Richards alongside Kermit the Frog.
Oh,
not
nice.
The first time Keith had seen frogs, you know what I mean?
Hey, you mentioned getting to the top of the mountain. One guy trying to get to the top of the mountain. Jets quarterback Zach Wilson.
Hey, Zach, what happened?
Zach,
you didn't get into
Wilson.
Town in New York? What happened?
Wow, I'll tell
New
you
Zach
what.
Zach City.
I'll tell you what, if you've been following all the training
New
camp
Zach
tweets,
City.
New Zach City's been struggling. He talked about that today.
Taking care of the ball is 100% a quarterback's job. And one of my goals when I came out here and I got drafted was just like, how can I adapt to this NFL game as quickly as I can? And I can't be afraid to make mistakes, especially in practice. You know, this isn't a game. This is where I'm learning what I can get away with and what I can't. And so, you know, there's times where, you know, maybe in a real game I probably wouldn't throw that, but it's times where I'm like, well, let me try right here and see what I can get away with. And it's, you know, as we get closer to game, you have to start teaching yourself, you know, in that situation, you know what, CJ got a hand on it, he made the play. And so it's like, okay, well, next time in that situation, that same look, I'm going to check the ball down. And so that's what we practice for, is to be able to play situations out like that.
Some breaking news here. This just handed to me. Zach Wilson just named to play the son of Mox in a Varsity Blues sequel, James Vanderbeek playing his father.
I don't want your life.
Can you imagine Zach Wilson looking at Vanderbeek saying, I don't want your life, continuing the tradition of unrest between these Texas men and this family. The whole quarterback in New York thing doesn't work out for Zach.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I think he should go that route.
Young at some point, I'm going to stop making fun of him for looking so young, but he just looks like the guy playing the high school quarterback in a Netflix Peacock movie series. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's like the bad guy grown up in Mighty Ducks. It's Michael Porter Jr. He looks like that. It's like the all team of bad guys in kids' movies grown up.
Like, that's, I was waiting for his voice to crack in the middle of that. Well, talking about reading defenses and stuff.
Again, you're walking around New York City. Hey, I'm Zach. I'm the quarterback of the Jets.
No, really.
I swear. Like, it's when B.J. Armstrong wouldn't get let into Chicago Stadium, and he's like, I'm on the Bulls. into the stadium.
Once week one hits, I'll stop making fun of him for looking so young.
Will you, though?
I mean, maybe. If the Jets are over, then
when he starts shaving. When he starts shaving, you can then make fun of him, I think.
It's unbelievable how, young he looks. But
amazing. I want Rich to be happy, though. You know, yeah. When Rich is my dear friend, I want him to have a football team that he can be proud of.
Who doesn't love take your son to work day, and it just happens to be that your son gets to play quarterback?
For the Jets.
Pretty cool.
Like, what is happening?
Celebrity birthdays coming up next. The Lakers considering signing Isaiah Thomas. Let's run it back.
No, I want IT in
small
Boston.
Celtics out in L.A. Like, let's go,
we should have got IT instead of Schroeder.
IT coming to the Lakers. Possibly. Wow. Possibly. Ben Lyons in for Rich. Celebrity birthdays next. The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories, and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the show. Ben Lyons in for Rich. This is the Rich Eisen Show. You can hit us up, 844-204-RICH. Say hi to Adam. We were just playing back an interview with the dude himself, Jeff Bridges. I love Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges and I shared a very challenging moment together. Probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do as a broadcaster.
Oh.
I went live at the premiere of The Giver, popular book turned into a movie. Jeff Bridges starring alongside Del Tufo's favorite, Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Live premiere outside the famed Ziegfeld on 54th Street. About 2 minutes before air, we found out the news that we lost Robin Williams.
Oh, wow.
And I had to go live for 3 hours.
7 years ago today.
Yeah.
And is it today?
Today.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
Yeah,
we were just talking about it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And Jeff Bridges walked up on the stage.
Jeez.
The Fisher King, you know?
Yeah.
And he starts crying. I've got Jeff Bridges crying, and I'm live the day Robin Williams passed. And just held him, held space for him. Jeff had known my late Uncle Warren for many years. So I kind of had a relationship, and kind soul. And we just shared that moment of how sad it was. At the time, we didn't know what it was or why. He had a feeling. We got through that. When I got back to L.A. at my house, a beautiful handwritten letter from Jeff Bridges thanking me for sharing that moment with him. But I thank him for being so raw and honest with us in that moment. It was terrible. I can't believe that's today.
Terrible, yeah, wow. Today, yes.
Wow, see, pockets of the universe. I had no idea. We talk about that a lot, TJ.
Yeah, man.
You find stuff where the stars aligning. Here we are sharing that story of how moved I was by that moment, and I had no idea it was 7 years ago.
2014.
Wow. I love looking up my dad's old interviews with Robin. They had such a funny thing. You can look up Jeffrey Lyons interviews Robin Williams. Just terrific stuff. He's the only one I ever saw with Robin who could go toe-to-toe with references and make him laugh and tell him, hey, Death to Smoochie. You had to subpoena people to see it, and Robin just loves it.
You also knew what direction he was going to go in. You never knew. He's like a bouncy ball in that,
incredible.
In that aspect.
Was a mime outside the Met. Mime. Remember Robin Williams as a mime trying to get money on the street?
I can see that.
It's amazing.
Happening.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, Kevin Costner has been here and told the story. Robin Williams was the first choice for Field of Dreams. The Field of Dreams game taking place starting tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah.
Out in Iowa.
Adnan's out there. We should get Adnan on. We were talking about having somebody from the Field of Dreams game who's on the ground in the cornfields. Adnan Virk, what a perfect person. Movies and baseball.
Yeah. And then the studio said, we want somebody who looks like they don't hear voices in the corn.
right.
Whereas Robin Williams does.
Amazing. Another Ray Liotta reference here today, huh?
Oh, what a show. What a show. All right. Birthdays today, guys. TJ, this one's for you. The immortal Hulk Hogan, 68.
Hulk Hogan.
I don't know if it's so much for me anymore, brother, but but yeah, the Hulkster.
I mean, just wrestling, the Hulkster.
Remember when
my
dad did the junket for, I believe, Suburban Commando? Was that the movie?
Suburban Commando.
Yeah, Suburban Commando.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dad, can I please come to meet Hulk Hogan? You know, I'm like 10 at the time.
Of course.
He's like, yeah, sure, of course. I'm like, can I bring 7 of my friends? And so then we did.
Oh, you did bring 7 of your friends.
We brought 7 of us. There's the crew in Hogan right now on Peacock. A live look of me and the homies going to meet Hulk Hogan. We all ate. Remember those wrestling ice cream bars?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We all went on 6th Avenue afterwards.
The mock turtleneck.
To meet Hulk Hogan. I was like, oh, I'm going to meet Hulk Hogan today? Let me put on my neon green polo shirt, a bolo tie, and a Colorado Rockies hat. I'm ready to go now.
Is that JTT on the right? It looks just like him. Whoever your friend is looks exactly like Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Sean Carey,
yes,
Jack
it does.
Street. Yeah, there's a bunch of legends in that photo. I remember meeting Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan looked like he's enjoying a junket in that photo, doesn't he? Trying to get through Suburban Commando questions.
Great documentary about Hogan,
not about his life, but about the role he played in that wild Gawker case or was the website or everything. Like, go and watch the documentary about that. It was at Netflix. Just tremendous. Tremendous at Sundance a couple years ago.
They took it all down.
Wild story.
Yeah.
Hogan at the center of all
the immortal Hulk Hogan. All right. A guy who looks like Hulk Hogan, Chris Hemsworth. You said, TJ, he's playing Hulk Hogan?
Apparently,
is he really?
In the Hulk Hogan biopic. Which I have a question about biopics I've been wanting to do, and I think maybe later this week we should do that. But yeah, apparently Chris Hemsworth, and I showed you a picture a few weeks ago of him pushing a tire, flipping a tire. Jeez. And let me tell you something. Chris Hemsworth is swole.
He is I'm just going to say this. He's a beautiful man. I had the privilege of interviewing him a few times over the years. You mentioned biopics. He starred as the driver, James Hunt, in the movie Rush, the Formula One movie.
Great movie.
Great movie, yeah. I remember being on set for that one across the pond. Got to interview him in character.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this dude is...
That was a great movie.
He's a handsome man here. That's some flowing locks that he's got on his head there. That's a great movie. Daniel Brühl is Niki Lauda. Daniel Brühl is Niki Lauda when they're putting the pipes down his throat after the accident or whatever. That's a crazy performance.
Yeah, and that last picture. Now, you're about 6'3". You look like you were towering. Is that just because of the depth thing, or shorter than you, or is that just a weird angle?
Are you prepared to say he's not as tall as we think he is?
I don't think Hemsworth is breaking 6 feet.
I think he might be.
I think the mighty Thor.
He's the god of thunder.
The Prince of Asgard might be 5'11 and change. I don't know.
Us young.
It says 6'3.
Good to know that I could take Hemsworth on the low post.
I mean, what
is he like? Drop step.
I can say as someone who's 6'3.
Yeah,
Ben is
6'3. He looks like he was just getting into character and becoming James Hunt and getting a little shorter so he could fit in the 1970s Formula One car. Dedicated.
Man, if we find out Thor is way smaller, I was like, spoiler alert, the one time Kit Harington came in here, and you're like, man, I love Jon Snow, but he's he's like Muggsy Bogues. Like,
pocket host. Little pocket host. Like, put him in your pocket.
The sword is bigger than him. I'm not sure I buy all the Game of Thrones stuff.
I will make the argument that Muggsy Bogues does not get the credit he deserves. He's one of the greatest athletes of all time, Muggsy Bogues.
These real Formula One cars out there, Ron Howard directing.
That was a phenomenal movie.
Daniel Brühl is terrific.
At Fox, I had the pleasure of doing like mixing some Formula One in the like mid-90s. Oh. And that was, when I saw that movie, I was like, that was like, wow, these guys were like, it was awesome.
For sure. Viola Davis is 56. Mike, you have to, big thanks to this guy, Steve Wozniak, 71.
Oh, yeah. My guy.
This guy over here, Mr. Apple.
Yeah.
Anna Gunn, you know her from Breaking Bad, 53 today.
Gotta be honest, never seen an episode of Breaking Bad.
He just told me that last commercial break. Ben's like, crazy, right? I haven't watched it, and I'm afraid
I'm waiting
to get
for
into
there to be a little bit more buzz on it. You know, it's like some of these guys out here saying they're waiting for more information.
By the way,
I want more people talking about Breaking Bad.
Ben Lyons, I might be able to one-up you. Never seen The Wire.
That's more, neither have I, though. But here's the deal, right?
I like
it. No offense, but you not watching The Wire is a little bit more believable than Ben not watching Breaking Bad, though.
Got a 10-year head start, though. He's got a head start on The Wire.
I buy that. I mean,
you know, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, but like I would say.
Why? Is it because I'm white?
Well, I mean, I didn't want to say that, but I'm just saying.
No, but
I'm just saying.
Like, Breaking Bad, like these
TJ
guys
doesn't have
to
ask me if I've seen The Wire.
No, these guys were talking about Breaking Bad, and I finally watched it.
Breaking Bad, I mean, obviously, it's great. Just like I know how great The Wire is.
Sometimes now with these shows that you know are so good and they're legendary and you miss the boat, it's just like becomes intimidating to stare down the barrel and be like, all right, I got six seasons of Breaking Bad in front of me that I kept going down a rabbit hole on.
That happens until Lena Headey comes in the studio and looks you in your eye and all of a sudden you go, man, I got to catch up with Game of Thrones all of a sudden. I'm not saying that happened to me, but then again, I'm not saying that didn't happen to me either. So, but I finished Game of Thrones.
This week, we're going to track down living legend Jim Hill. We were talking about the LA institution that is Jim Hill.
The first question,
you're not
always
familiar with the market. You've seen him for years, of course. Covering LA sports, is in the original Rocky. And it's just known in Los Angeles. Press conference, first question, Jim Hill. Unwritten rule. Unbelievable. Yesterday, Russell Westbrook. Did you see the photo I posted? Arash Markazi tweeted it. First one at the press conference, Jim Hill.
Yeah, Hill was like 2 hours early.
He used to do that at Rams games. I mean, he still does it at Rams games, I should say.
Suit and tie. He's always 40-plus years, legend. I hope we get him on the show this week.
First round pick of the Raiders back in the 60s.
Incredible. I love these icons of sport. You know, these guys who've been calling games, these women who have been around the game for so long. Real appreciation for them. We had Joe Castiglione. Salema's turned into that for Action Sports.
Yeah, totally.
People come up to this dude and say, I grew up watching you. There's going to be someone out there.
He was
someone watching
Tony
right
Hawk's
now,
900.
Someone listening, who's going to go up one day to Mike Del Tufo and say, I grew up watching you.
No doubt.
Hope you listen to us tomorrow, everyone.